The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 2nd. We keep a line open for our listeners all the time. It's just a way of staying in touch, letting our listeners, so many of them, our beloved on-demand listeners, listening a little later than the actual live broadcast. They may listen a week late, a month late. Sometimes they surprise us. They're listening to something that was years ago. Fine. You can listen where you want, when you want, to whatever you want when it comes to Issues Etc. Sometimes you get a question. Sometimes you want to add something to the conversation. Sometimes you have a criticism. Sometimes, and this is very helpful to us, you have a show suggestion. That's why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. It's always open. You can call at any time. Leave your question, your comment, whatever it may be. And as often as we can, we try to respond to as many of these comments as we can. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Let's begin with a question about changing the words to classical Christian creeds.
A question for Pastor Whedon regarding the Nicene Creed, and I've noticed from time to time local churches replace the traditional text of the creed with something a little more customized, a little more relevant to the day, not necessarily the events of the day, but a little more, I guess, personalized, emotionalized, and I'd like Pastor's thoughts on that. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Well, okay. I think we need to tread lightly here, but not too lightly. Now, his question is directed to Pastor Whedon. We have been playing a series of with him, last week maybe, on the Nicene Creed. It's an excellent question, because this kind of mischief is rampant in churches, all sorts of churches, that had up to this point been simply confessing the creed. You struggle for a word. What do you say? We say we speak the creed, we recite the creed. Recite kind of has a negative connotation nowadays. I like the verb confess the creed, because that's what the creed really is. It is a confession of faith. So there are a couple things that I think we want to be aware of. First of all, there's nothing wrong with someone's personal confession of faith as long as it is the faith once delivered to all the saints. It is the faith and not just your faith. You see, Christians just don't believe what they want to believe. Christians are bound to believe what God has revealed of himself in Holy Scripture. So your creed had better, if you've got one of your own, or if your pastor, and I think this is profoundly foolish for pastors to do this, your pastor decides to write one, a customized creed for the congregation, or for a certain Sunday, if he wants to do this, well, if you're going to do that, it had better completely line up with what Scripture says, what Scripture confesses, not only in what it says, but in the subjects that it covers. Here's what's the problem with so many of these custom creeds. These kind of, I'm just going to dash this creed off. Here's the problem with a lot of them. They are not improvements on the originals. They are distinctly inferior to the originals. They're vague. They're sometimes so personal or so specialized as to be trite or trivial. I mean, the classic one is the American Creed or something like that. The kind of, it's supposed to be a special way that Americans confess the historic faith. And it's more American than creed. And you know what I'm talking about. All of you have kind of limped your way through these things when some well-meaning pastor decided to write his version of the creed. And I think you must admit it never, ever improves upon any of the originals, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed. That's the big problem, is we're just giving people an inferior confession of faith. But the other problem has to do with, and I think this is behind a lot of the tinkering with the creed. I am of the opinion that the creed is sometimes the first thing to go when a pastor decides that he wants to fire the first volley, lob the first bomb in a worship war. The first thing he does, the easiest thing for him to do, is to simply sit down and rewrite the creed. And once he's done that, and once his congregation has said, you know, that's fine, we can change not only how we say it, but sometimes what we actually say, then really, they've been drafted into the worship war. They may not know what side they're on, but they have been effectively drafted by their pastor into, I think, an act of aggression against Christian worship. Because at the heart and the center of that Christian worship is what it means to be a Christian, what it is to confess to be a Christian. There's more, by the way, if you want to read an article that I've written on this, you can just email me, Todd@issuesetc.org, Todd@issuesetc.org, and I'll send you an article that I wrote recently called Behind the Music, the Real Worship War.
Hi, this is Annabelle from Kansas City. I really appreciate your programming on Mary, the Mother of Our Lord. I did not realize that the account on the wedding at Cana proves the centrality of Jesus. As a former Catholic myself, I had used this same passage to prove Mary as the mediatrix. I did not read further on to see that Mary, the mother of our Lord, is pointing to Jesus by telling Jesus' disciples to do what he says. Even at the very beginning, Mary's response to the Annunciation, her Magnificat, makes a true confession as she puts a clear focus on God, her Savior, Jesus Christ. This trumps the point on her being both the mediatrix and being the co-redemptrix. To those who are entertaining the idea of praying to Mary or to our fellow saints who had already died and gone to be with the Lord, I urge you to read 1 Samuel 28, verse 7 and following. I do not doubt that Prophet Samuel or St. Samuel's answer to King Saul will be the very same answer you'll get from Mary or whichever saint you're petitioning. And it is, "Why have you disturbed me?" If this does not strike fear in you, I further urge you to listen to the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself when he was asked by his disciples on how to pray. Jesus' answer is the Lord's Prayer, to call God our Father, to ask him for our daily bread, for forgiveness, and to deliver us from the evil one, which is my prayer for all my fellow saints, that we not be led astray by the enticing of the evil one, who continually desires for our hearts to doubt God's word and ask the age-old question, did God really say? I thank you, Issues Etc., for the great programming, and keep up the good work.
Well, as I often say, smartest listeners in radio, that kind of comment absolutely proves it. She put together an excellent biblical case against the invocation of the saints. You know, the Lutheran reformers were, I love the way they think because they think quite simply on these matters. And I don't think we could improve or upon their thinking here. They say when it comes to praying to the saints, we have no command to do so in Holy Scripture. We have no promise that doing so is of any effect in Holy Scripture, and we have no example in Holy Scripture to do this thing. Do the saints who've gone before us pray for us? Absolutely, they pray for us. But we are not to seek their intercession as though their prayers would somehow, they can channel our prayers through them or much less to them. Think about it in this terms, not in terms of necessarily, the big saints or the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think about grandma. What would your pious Christian grandma, who died last year, say to you if she could hear your prayers to her? Would she want you praying to her? Of course not. I mean, if she could reach down from heaven, she'd slap your face for trying to do such a thing. Why? Because prayers, where is the command to pray? To whom are we commanded to pray? To our triune God. Where is all the promise of prayer in Holy Scripture? It is in those, straight from Jesus' own mouth, he begs us, he pleads with us to beg and to plead with our Father in heaven, to seek him in his Son's name and his answers there. That's where all the promise of prayer in Holy Scripture is. And where is all the example? Except, of course, the negative example that our listener pointed out there of King Saul beseeching the spirit of the prophet Samuel after he had died. Where is all of the example given to us by every Christian in Holy Scripture to pray to our triune God in the name of Jesus? So while praying to saints has no command, no promise, no example, praying to our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ has all the command. It has all the promise, and it has all of the examples on its side. I think that's a simple way of thinking about it.
This is Paul in Milwaukee commenting on the recent short, perhaps too short, program on doomsday preppers, so-called those who are preparing for the end, as it might be by them or others defined. It is remarkable how little was said about God's word in this matter. I counted three references to Christianity, including one generality from St. Paul on not to fear. WWJS, what would Jesus say? He said, no man knows when the true end, the end of history, his judgment and new heavens and earth would come. He told of the spiritual as well as the sociological signs of the real end and what to do about it. That might have been included in one of Issues, Etc.'s Find, End, Pardon, Program Perorations. Thanks for listening.
Well, I mean, to take Jesus at his word here, he does tell us that no man knows the day or the hour when the end comes, when the doomsday arrives, if you want to call it that. But he also makes it quite clear that building a bomb shelter, hoarding food, putting the water away, those may be wise things to do in the case of some natural disaster. But on the last day, none of that preparation is going to do you any good at all. When we come back, media coverage of Christian persecution all over the world with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service.
So dial zero for assistance if this all confuses you. So tell me why.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, presents a new book of essays in honor of Daniel Preuss. It's titled Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. This new hardcover book will be out in November and features essays from Issues, Etc. regular guests, Matt Harrison, Scott Murray, David Scare, and others. You can save $10 by advance ordering in August or $5 by pre-ordering in September. Check out Proper Christum, Christ at the Center at shop.logia.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.